This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
I look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Trial of Karen Reed. Yes, it is coming up again shortly. They're saying April. I'm not quite sure if that's really truly what is going to happen because the motions are coming out right now. Karen Reed in court just the other day talking about the dog bite. Talking about expert witnesses, what should be allowed, what should not be allowed. And it was certainly interesting. It felt just like the trial was back on. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining me to discuss. So they're back out there. Let's talk about the dog bites. That's the first thing that really is coming to a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
During the first trial, it came down to the battle of the expert witnesses. One person is saying, and she was on the stand the other day, I believe they're dog bites. During the trial, I couldn't conclusively do that. Now that's a change of heart, despite not really having any true experience in the area of dog bites. I mean, she worked in an emergency room for 30 years, and that's what she's saying makes her an expert on it. Despite, you know, people who actually do study that. What's your thoughts on this? And I don't know. I mean, I was kind of surprised just kind of how verbose she was, how confident she was now, suddenly these couple months after she was on the stand, in her expertise on dog bites, despite no real new education on it.
Yeah, she's interesting, and confident is a good word. She mm-hmm. does come off very confident, and that can be very impressive to a jury. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how, and I'm not even sure how one becomes a forensic expert in wounds and dog bites, mm-hmm. but you certainly want the best for a case like this. And I guess that's up to them to decide.
It was interesting. I was actually watching Banfield the other night, and she had a dog bite expert on it, they called it, but someone who certainly did sound like he had a lot more experience in that line of study, if you will. And he watched the clip of her on the stand, or some pieces of her on the stand, and was really kind of taken aback by some of the statements she was making. The prosecution had brought up, hey, we did get a cast of the dog's mouth. The dog is still alive. Mm-hmm. And it kept going back to her as they were playing ping pong back and forth on the dog bites. And she had said, you know, would this be beneficial to take a look at the casting of the dog to see where things measure? And her answer is, I don't really think that would be beneficial. Or I'm kind of paraphrasing, but I was kind mm-hmm. of shocked, where it's like, here's more evidence. Where, on what planet is it where an expert says, nah, we got enough evidence right here, even when you're coming out with like really solid things like the dog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's such an important part of the defense's story. You know, now, admittedly, those wounds are hard to explain. Mm-hmm. But is dog bite the best explanation? I don't know. As they said, well, it doesn't look like the bumper did it,
no.
you know, that particular pattern. But I don't know how the dog bite would account for the wounds in his head.
Yeah.
Either, which clearly were not dog bites. So it's just one of those cases where there's so much weird evidence that's inconclusive, and it doesn't all tie together. Pig DNA on the body. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, what the heck?
There's so much mystery to this in so many pieces. And I feel like maybe we've all overthought this, because it probably comes back to being something much more simplistic than everyone is making this out to be. It's not the explanation, I don't know, but it's something I've always thought of. The head injury, you slipped, you fell. It was icy. It was cold out. It's not hard. People yeah. are going to argue it wasn't quite icy yet. Yeah, people yeah. still fall after, especially if yeah. you're drunk. You can be on a nice hot summer day and fall if you're drunk.
Yep. And he was heavily... People die of falls yeah. all the time. Yeah.
So that can happen. And if you're mm-hmm. out there and you're getting back up and you're scraping yourself a few times, I don't know. I look at those injuries, and there are places that do look like bite marks, but you know, if you're scraping your hand on gravel and stuff on the ground, or your right. arm on gravel, to me, it reminds me of falling off my bike, quite honestly.
It's a good point.
I looked at it and
it does look like that.
It kind of yeah. looks like that. Like if you really wanted to look at it and go, where are the teeth marks? You could probably look at a scrape and go, oh, maybe those are teeth marks, because two pieces of gravel were harder right there. Maybe that is the explanation. Coyotes is the other thing I've always thought about. I know Bob Mata has brought that up here on the show too. There's a giant woods behind the house.
Wow.
It's huge.
Great point. Yeah.
People have talked about seeing coyotes in the neighborhood. People mm-hmm. have had problems with coyotes in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And if you're laying down and maybe you got some blood on you, and there's yeah. not many people around, because there really wouldn't be on a snowy night, animals will find you. And
yeah.
I am kind of curious if maybe they drug him around a little bit. Maybe it's kind of a mix of both. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But he was out there and something happened. It feels to me at the end of the day, we are still never truly going to get an answer in yeah. this case as to what happened, despite we have our expert here, we have our expert there. On this issue, I don't know truly how you're ever going to get a definitive answer, and how you're going to yeah. expect a jury in their ultimate wisdom of opinion come up with if it's real or not. But it comes out down to Judge Beverly Cano now to decide whether or not that gets into the trial, the dog biting information. Do you think it should go in there, with it being such a kind of up in the air, iffy topic?
Yeah, you know, it's one that just makes my head hurt. And I can only imagine what it's like to be a juror on this case and try to sift through all this. Mm-hmm. I know I hate it when there are competing experts. Mm-hmm. You know, because we all want to be fair and we want to do the right thing. And I think you're right. As I've thought for quite a while, we're never going to know the real story here.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which side wins. We're still not going to know the real story.
Well, it seems even in this case, when you do have expert witnesses come on here in the Karen Reed trial, when it comes to more of a science, like, I don't know, data, cell phones, and timing,
Yeah.
They too also had opposing witnesses. And I get it. It's what you do. But at the end of the day, there's either fact or there's not fact to something like that. And there are things where times do get transposed or they get transcoded from, you know, Greenwich Mean Time to Eastern Central, whatever it may be. But the coding usually is going to be Greenwich Mean Time. That's how a lot of things are just set. So it's not a far cry for me to understand that the time coding on the phone initially is at a different hour than what it actually was. And they had experts from Cellbrite come in, people who actually worked for the company that makes the program that detects this and explained exactly here's how you translate the data. Yeah. And they're still going back going, yeah, we don't believe your expert. I don't know how when you get down to something like that, that there is anything up for dispute or discussion. It just seems very, this is what it is. It's that, you can't debate fact. And to me, that one is a fact. Even if initially you read the tea leaves wrong or you read the information incorrectly because you didn't know how to read it.
Yeah, exactly. We like to believe that we can ascertain certain basic facts, and that just because the game of each side wanting to win, you know, as we know, it's not really about getting to the truth. It's about who's going to win here. Yeah. And there's a lot of manipulation that goes on, manipulation of, you know, what appears to be the truth. And that's just unfortunate.
At the end here, we're not really hearing a whole lot new that's coming into play. It's just kind of arguing of what can we add in or what can we take away. It's a lot of about taking away and what is going to be let in. I feel like this is going to be somewhat of a different trial. I don't think that we're going to see Karen come up with any sort of other defense. I feel like they're going to still double down on the actual that he was beat in the house. How much stronger do you think that argument is going to be this time, despite there being no evidence of it, although it wasn't investigated. They never went into the house. And you have all of the baggage this time around of Proctor and of other people in those police forces that were involved with this investigation, having some real shady, questionable actions around them, not necessarily specifically on this case. Certainly, there's a lot of questions here on this case if something was done, but the external as well that paints this picture. We were just beginning to uncover it during the last case. Now, it's out there. It's in the psyche of the jurors in that town that are going to know these extra facts, whether or not they're supposed to take them into consideration or not.
Right, right. Yeah, people are human. They know these things at this point, and it sure casts doubt on the behavior of law enforcement and the, you know, the veracity of whatever they're claiming. So could it be the tipping point here? Quite possible.
Speaking of Michael Proctor, he was, of course, formerly the lead investigator on this case. He was on the stand, and he's the one who had all the choice words about Karen Reed. And then that, of course, began the internal investigation. His conduct under scrutiny, and he is really under the microscope enough now where they're going to be reconsidering whether or not he can stay employed. I thought he was already fired, but he was out on unpaid leave for a little while. But now this may be the end of the road for him. But it is kind of shocking the amount of cases he's been involved in that now have a lot of questions around them. Some, I think, justified, some not. But just having his name kind of taints anything. Of course, we have the Karen Reed case here with all the questions about the evidence. Was evidence planted? A lot. There's a lot of things here. And clearly, bias against Karen Reed from day one. The Brian Walsh case and Anna Walsh. That thing still up in the air. That Anna's body has never been found. But initially, Proctor's involvement led to questions about the reliability of him in this investigation. Although that one does have a lot more evidence. You got the Googling of how to destroy your wife, kill your wife, bury your wife, eat your wife, everything that Brian Walsh Googled, pretty damning. But then you got Sandra Birchmore, and that's another one where he was a key person right away. Not directly involved as the investigation went on, but he was there at the beginning, and he was one of those in the context of saying, yeah, I agree, this is a suicide, when it clearly was not. And there's others, too. There's a Miles King case where questions about his involvement and credibility issues, a Sean Johnson case. The list goes on and on. There's a lot of cases that are going to probably end up being relitigated because of this man. If you got all this against you, and you're still waiting to see if they're going to give you a job. Why hasn't Proctor just kind of gone off into the sunset by now and saying, you know what, I'll quit. I don't need to do all this. Does he think that he can overcome this? I'm wondering if you have the audacity to do the things you did in some of these cases. I'm guessing you might have the audacity to think you are still going to get away with it.
Yeah, very true. Because why would anybody behave that way in the first place if they had integrity and were grounded in logic? I mean, I think he should lose his ability to work in law enforcement just based upon the text he sent about Karen Reed. That was just atrocious behavior. And, you know, you can't trust somebody with judgment like that who thinks that that kind of thing is okay.
No, and being the lead investigator on this, he's going to get called to the stand, I'm sure, at least by the prosecution, because he's not a good witness. It's going to be interesting to see, I guess, what Judge Beverly Cano is going to allow into this case, because these are all separate cases. I know what kind of other information will the jury find out about him and his misconduct. Within the case here itself, all that we really truly have fact on is the texts and the horrible things he was saying. But certainly there's a lot that people are looking at in terms of possibly evidence being planted or maybe tipping of the scales because he really absolutely hated her. Is there any other areas you think that can be looked into psychologically on Proctor that maybe the defense of Karen Reed hasn't gone down or any roads that they haven't gone down the first trial that they might bring in this time?
Yeah, I off the top of my head, I can't see that there's anything they can bring up about his personality specifically. You know, there's no grounds to force him to have psych testing or anything like that in this situation. But I think it just goes back to the question of integrity and his, as you said, his bias against her is clear. And, you know, the fact that you can't trust somebody with this kind of worldview and sense of, you know, how you communicate about people. It's just doesn't speak well of his character.
Should this trial even take place or should at some point here, maybe the judge says, you know what, we're going to dismiss this thing. I mean, just from a standpoint of truly getting justice, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, if I were the judge, I think I would have said, hung jury, we're done with it, because, you know, there's just too much that we're never going to have an answer to. And what's the point? Yeah. You know, I don't see how this would be an easy case for a jury. I would hate to be on the jury here. But if I were, I think I would say reasonable doubt. You know, this does not look like murder.
I think any way you square it, there's reasonable doubt. And
yeah,
there's one person that truly knows what happened, and he's dead. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.